Open your Bible up to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 59. And we're going to be talking on things a little bit differently to usual tonight. We're going to look at laboring. It says here, we'll read this verse. It says that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's read that verse and then we'll pray. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for the word, for this word that you've given us, Lord, that you can teach us and you can guide us and direct us and encourage us, Lord, and we can get wisdom through your word, Lord, and we just thank you for it. We just pray for this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever considered that? Labor is not in vain in the Lord. That verse really struck me one day. I was walking over the mountains in Papua New Guinea, and I was with Peter, the preacher over there, and we're walking to this place called Ayamana, and it was a long walk. It was a long walk, and we had to go up and down a huge valley, down to the bottom, cross the river, back up the other side to this other village, and then come back down to the river and back up this mountain. And it was one of those mountains that was just never-ending. You know those never-ending hills just like you're going up the pyramid? It was like going up the pyramid. And it just never, ever ends. And you're tired, and you've been walking along, you got an umbrella, we had a Coleman lantern, sometimes we were getting home really late at night, and we were just trudging along, back and forth going, preaching out to this village, you know, and you're not seeing anything going on. You're preaching to the people every week, you're going out there, and there isn't really response to the people. One time we gave an invitation and some people gave a response, and one guy said, hey, let's make a response so we look interested, so they keep coming. Yeah, awesome, hey? And so you're dealing with that. And we're walking up the mountain and it just never ends and never ends. And you're sitting down and I was puffed and I was tired and I was at the top of the mountain finally, and then we got to go, still got to get home. And Peter says to me, he quotes this verse to me. And he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I was sitting there and I went, all right, let's go. And we're on the way home. We're on the way home so we could get up and move. But, you know, the Lord gives us these things. But I've thought about that verse. Our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and we'll just have a look. We don't have heaps of time. But let's have a look here in 1 Corinthians and we'll read from verse 6 down through to verse 15. And we'll have a look at these laborers and the workers and the different things. Ready? Verse 6 says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For ye are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. So there's a lot there. But let's just go back here and have a look at verse 9. We're going to have to move through this real quick. Verse 9 says, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are his husbandry. Ye are his building. God's there looking for laborers. You know, we always need more laborers to go out, but the laborer, you know, the laborers are few. There's not many people going out doing God's work. And that's true. Okay? And the Lord is looking for laborers. We are God's workforce. Okay, we are God's workers. We aren't just to sit here in the church doing nothing. God is looking in the church for people to do his work. That's where God looks for workers. We are his laborers, where God has a job for us to do. We're meant to be busy for God. We are his laborers, and in our local church, that's where we get trained up to do the ministry, and that's where God is looking for laborers. And it says, ye are God's husbandry. God's doing a work in us, isn't he? Okay? God's doing a work in us. We are God's laborers, but God is also doing a work in us. We are constantly growing. God is constantly, I'm not going to say he's trying us, but he tests us. He allows things to happen. He's constantly doing a work in our life to sanctify us and to bring us up like him. And he's constantly doing a work. And also, ye are God's building. We're God's building. We're three things in one in this verse. We're God's laborers, we're God's work, and we're God's building. And God looks at us as finished. God's got a bigger picture, and he can step back and see things that we can't see. He sees us as Christ. He sees us as finished. We look at each other, and we look at each other as, you need a lot of work. You look at me and you go, you got to be quiet, Chris. You need a lot of work. I said, hey, I know. I am convicted. Trust me, I did not have an easy day today. But God sees us as finished. You read through Romans chapter 8. We're glorified, we're justified, we're sanctified in Christ already. That's where we are. That's where we're at. We've got Christ's righteousness imputed on us, not anything else. That's how God sees us. Okay, now we're going to have to move really quickly. I've got tons of information. But have a look here. We're going to go down. We're going to talk about laboring in vain. Laboring in vain. It says your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So does that mean you can labor not in the Lord? And this is where I think things get a little bit tricky, doesn't it? You know, we've read through that passage 1,000 times, haven't we? The gold, the silver, the precious stones, the wood, hay, and the stubble. And we've got all of these things, and we're laborers, and we're laboring for the Lord, and we're constantly doing things for God. And, you know, I'm a missionary, and I'm out there in Papua New Guinea, and I'm busy doing this, and we're doing that, and we're doing all these things, or we're here at home, and we're doing all of these things, and we're doing all that. But are we doing it in the Lord? Are we doing it in the Lord? I fear that a lot of what I have done hasn't been in the Lord. And people might go, oh, but we're Christians and we're doing God's work. But sometimes we get so busy that we don't actually do it for the Lord. Think about some people in the Bible. Okay, so we've got some good works here. We've got work. We need to work. We need to do the Lord's work. But this wood, hay, and stubble thing, that isn't sin. Okay, a lot of people think it's just sin. That isn't sin. That is just work that isn't worth anything. Isn't worth anything in the Lord's eyes. Have a look at what it says. The end of verse 13, it says it's going to try every man's work and check what sort it is. Is it acceptable? Is all of our work acceptable to God or not? Is every time I come and preach acceptable to God or not? Oh, you know that. You've heard me preach. isn't that true? Okay, let's look at people in the Bible. Think about Peter. There is no way that Peter, the Apostle Peter, is not going to hear a well done, thou good and faithful servant. But you think about him when he pulled out his sword and he cut that guy's ear off. He was fighting the Lord's battle, wasn't he? He was zealous. He was doing the Lord's work. He was fighting for the Lord. He was going all out there. He was excited. He was doing all of these things and he was ready to fight for the Lord. But that was in the flesh. Is that going to be one of those works that's going to be burned up? Think about Martha. Martha running around like a headless chicken. Preached about her a few weeks ago on a Wednesday night. And she's running around and she's running around and she's so busy serving that she's forgotten who she's serving. And Jesus says, whoa, and she comes and complains. She goes, oh, I'm doing all of this work and I'm serving and I'm doing this. And Jesus just says, whoa, settle down. Yeah, you're serving. Everyone knew she was serving. She was doing a good job. She was busy. People were getting fed. People were getting looked after. She made sure everyone's, I don't know, feet were washed and everyone had a cup of cold water and all this kind of stuff. But she got her focus off the Lord and got busy working instead of serving the Lord. And Jesus says, yeah, Mary's doing a better thing here. Sit down and listen. And sometimes these things happen, don't they? You think about it. Think about Solomon. Solomon was a great builder, wasn't he? What did he build? He built the temple. And what a beautiful temple that was, wasn't it? It was lined with gold. You've all read that, surely. I have not seen a good piece of gold in my life, I don't think. Maybe I've seen something in a museum, maybe a Roman golden crown or something like this. But imagine the temple. They had a big golden candlestick. I don't know, someone's been to Israel. Have you been to Israel, Kevin Carr? No, there's a menorah. That's a huge piece of gold. And there's the Ark of the Covenant. And there's tongs. They have tongs made of gold and dustpan and brushes and all this kind of stuff. And he built all of this stuff. And Solomon done this work. And it was a great blessing for many years to many people, for the nation of Israel. But he should have stopped building there, because then he kept building, didn't he? And he kept building, and then he was building for his wives. And then he was building stuff that was irrelevant to God. And then he was building stuff that was just totally wrong. I see, he was laboring and doing all this work. And some of it was meaningful, but some of it was not meaningful. And we've got all of these examples. And you think, oh, maybe I give. And we give, and we give sacrificially, and it hurts. We think about Ananias and Sapphira. Whoa. Put it in today's dollars. They could have given the church up to $200,000. Well, I don't know. If they gave half of what their property was worth, that's a very generous gift. But was it accepted to God? It wasn't accepted to God. With a huge, huge rebuke, a great big rebuke, and everyone was afraid. It cost them their lives. Now, that doesn't mean that Ananias and Sapphira weren't Christians. That doesn't mean that Ananias and Sapphira never did anything right or good in the eyes of the Lord. That was just that one time. And sometimes we have that one time that catches us off guard, doesn't it? And we do these things in the flesh sometimes, and our work isn't acceptable to God. When we do our work, and I am so convicted of this, is everything we do for the Lord? You know, it would have been better if Ananias and Sapphira didn't give. Oh, are you going to tell someone that they shouldn't have given to church? Well, they gave wrong. They shouldn't have given. Wouldn't it? Would have been better, if you don't know the story, go back into Acts and read it. They would have been better not to give. It would have been better if Peter didn't pull out his sword and cut that guy's ear off. It would have been better if he didn't do that. Now, that makes me really quite concerned, doesn't it? About some of the work that I've done. And the Lord is convicting and working about these things, and we need to do these things in the Lord. And you think about this wood, hay, and stubble. What have I actually done that's gold and silver and precious stones? What have I done that's actually wood, hay, and stubble? And we can do, and we can do, and we can be busy, and we can give, and we can sacrifice, and we can offer, and we can do, and it'll come to nothing in the end because we didn't do it in the Lord. Isn't that what the verse says? Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And we get so distracted from doing what we're meant to be doing. We're doing it as pleasing men. We come and we come to youth group every night, and we're coming just to please the pastor and to please the people and to do the right thing and to make it look like we're doing the right thing and to make everyone happy. But there we're already got it for the wrong reason, and we're doing it wrong, and now it's in vain in the Lord. And it's pointless, and we're just building wood, hay, and stubble houses, and we're just doing stuff out of religion. There's a problem there, isn't there? And it happens to us all. If you've been in ministry, you'll know what I'm talking about, how this can happen, and it just becomes so, and that's not what it should be like, working with the Lord, you know. And it's a difficult thing. If you turn over and go over to Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to have a look at a few things here. This is talking about, if you're going to go into ministry, think about this. If you're thinking, or if you're in ministry, think about these things, about instead of wasting your time and doing it in vain. Man, I look back and I think the entire first year of Papua New Guinea is wood, hay, and stubble. I knew nothing. There you go, I admitted it. You all know I'm a dummy anyway. I know nothing. I knew nothing. In fact, I thought I knew less when I came back to Australia. And I just know even less now. I've gotten dumber with being away. I'm sure of it. And you don't know. You don't know culture, and you don't know language, and you don't know things, and you're doing things out of religion and out of duty and to please the people, and because you know it's right. And you don't know where you're going. But we need to do these things in the Lord. Have a look at Ephesians chapter 1. And this would take years and years to study all of this out in Ephesians chapter 1. But what we need to do, instead of doing it in our strength, we need to do it in Christ. We need to do it in the Lord, with the Lord's power and with the Lord's strength. And every single verse nearly in Ephesians chapter 1 gives us an instruction about Christ. So you read through Ephesians chapter 1, you read through the whole book of Ephesians, and right every time underline it where it says in him or in whom and in Christ and all of these things. And let's have a look. We'll just jump down really quickly to verse. Actually, what we'll do, we'll just slow down a little bit there because I've said everything that I needed to say, and if I said it slower, it would have taken me half an hour. That's really why I'm a short preacher, because I speak real quick. I could make it go out for about half an hour if I talked about this fast. So slow down, get into Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1, and let's read. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Hey, isn't that a great verse? Isn't that great? Okay, we're going to totally change the theme here. Okay, we've gone from talking about laboring in vain, our pointless works. You know, Jesus talks about it, you know, don't pray with vain repetitions and all of these things like this. And how much do we pray with vain repetitions? Don't put your hand up. I'm guilty of praying with vain repetitions. And that's not what God wants. But here's what God wants, okay? So we're doing things in our own strength. How are we meant to do things? We're meant to do it in Christ's strength. Okay, and where are we positionally in Christ? And this is what we're going to talk about now. In Christ, our position in Christ. Where do we stand in Christ? Who am I? You could throw rocks at me. You could say, Chris, you are hopeless. You are the worst person. You shouldn't be a missionary. You shouldn't be preaching. And blah, 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 blah. And I can say, yeah, I know. You don't have to tell me. I was there. But in Christ, I'm a new person. Positionally, in Christ here. Let's look at this. Ready? We're going to have to be really, really fast. Ready? And I've got a list of verses, and I'm just going to point out one thing from each verse, and then you're going to have to go and study Ephesians chapter 1 for yourself and find out where you are positionally in Christ. Do you get it? Good. Ready? Let's just look at this one. Ready? Verse 1 says, in Christ. Jump down. Verse 3. We are blessed with all blessings. We ask to be blessed. We're already blessed with spiritual blessings. God has already given us what we need. We aren't short of anything. Yeah, except we'll come back to that. Ready? Ready? Verse 4. We are chosen in him. Now, we're not talking about Calvinism. We're not chosen in Christ. Verse 6. We are accepted in the Lord. We are accepted. How are we accepted? Is there anything we can do that can make us accepted in the Lord? No way. Only through Christ. See, positionally in Christ, we're accepted of the Lord because of Jesus Christ. Yeah, does that make sense? Am I going too fast? Verse 7 says we are redeemed and forgiven. Verse 11 says that we have obtained an inheritance. Yeah, isn't that good, isn't it? We're adopted. We have obtained an inheritance from the Lord. We can go to the Lord freely, boldly before the throne as our heavenly Father, because we are heirs. We aren't just somebody else. Through Christ, we are adopted into God's family. We have full rights to go to the Father. In Christ, we have full rights to be able to go to the Lord, to go and see him. We've obtained an inheritance. Verse 12, his glory. It is for him to be glorified. Look what it says, verse 12. It says that we should be to the praise of his glory. If God's not getting glorified, we're doing it in vain. Okay, if we're not doing it, God's not getting glory, it's pointless. We've been sealed, verse 13, look at that. It says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. We trusted in Christ. We've trusted in the gospel. We haven't done anything except for accept Christ, and our sins have been covered. They've been washed away. He's taken our sins away. They're behind his back. They're as far as the east is from the west. Our sins are no more. When God looks at us, he sees us as Christ. See, positionally, we are clean, we are redeemed, we are sealed. Look at that in verse 13. It says, in whom, it's talking about Christ, in whom also, after that ye believed, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. God's got his Holy Spirit in us, sealed, marked forever as his child. Amen? Isn't that good? What can you do? How can you get that without being in the Lord? You can't get that any other way except through the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, this is getting exciting, isn't it? Look at verse 17. Let's read that. It says that the Lord, God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. See, how do we do stuff for the Lord in a right way? How do we do it without it being vain and pointless? We do it our own way. We do it in our own strength. We sit down and we go and pray for 5 minutes before and then that's it. You reckon that's going to work? That's not going to work. Look at that. It says that God may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. God needs to teach us. See, God needs to teach us. We can't get it ourselves. We can't magically get knowledge. You know, we can't magically get wisdom. We can't just have it just come at us. You know, we all want the fruits of labor, but we don't want to do the hard work of it. We need to have a relationship with the Lord that he can give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. We need to know who God is. Have you ever thought about that? What do you think about God? Do you think that how you think about God would change the way you live? Should the way you think about God change the way you live? Yeah, well, it should, because if you didn't care about God, you wouldn't be a Christian, you wouldn't be at church, you'd just live how the world lives and you just wouldn't care. But the way we think about God should change. Look at this, verse 18, and isn't this unreal? Right? It says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Well, that sounds a bit far out, doesn't it? Well, did it really say that? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Whoa. That ye may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You know, God's got to give that to us, doesn't he? We can't just magically have our eyes open. That comes from the Lord. You think about in the Old Testament when they were chasing down Absalom and they hadn't eaten all day, and there's Jonathan and he sees some honey dripping out of the tree, and he gets his staff and he licks a big lollipop there, big honey lollipop off the end of his spear, and his eyes are enlightened, it says. You know, they've been running around fighting all day. You do an all-day fast. Yeah, it's tiring. You try running around fighting all day on top of that. I reckon you'd be feeling pretty tired. A bit of honey would do you good. Woohoo, I've got some energy. Let's go. I don't know, it might have been like that, but his eyes were enlightened and he had vision. And look what it says. And it says here, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. His glory and our inheritance that we have. God's got to open our eyes. He's got to give us the wisdom that we need. We need to see God for who he is so we actually care enough to tell people. We actually need to care enough about our inheritance. Oh yeah, I'm going to heaven. That's pretty cool. When I die, I'm going to go to heaven. It's pretty exciting, isn't it? You should get saved too. Are you excited? Okay, if you're not going to take it seriously, how are we going to tell other people? How are we going to care enough to be able to tell? How are we, if we're not excited about God, because it is God that saves us positionally in Christ here, we are seated in the heavenlies. Well, we haven't even gotten down to that far yet. Look at that. I think it's the next verse. Verse 19, it says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power? What is the great exceeding power that comes towards us? We've got God's power behind us to do his work. We aren't running around in our own strength and our own effort to do the work. It's God's work. And we have God's power to do it. He tells us to go. He says go, and we need to go. It's his job. It's his work. God says, I will build my church. I will build my church. We're on the winning side. Praise the Lord, inside of Christ. We still haven't gotten down there. Ready, verse 20. It says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. That power that is behind us to do God's work is the power that raised Jesus Christ from the grave. Wouldn't you like to have access to that power? Wouldn't you like to have access to the one who has that power? Wouldn't you? No, you're not very excited. Fine, I'm going to quit. I'm getting excited about this, okay? God has that power. It is the power that raised the Lord from... He was dead, okay? Jesus was dead. I don't think people really understand that. I don't even think Christians understand that Jesus really died, okay? I'm going to prove it to you. He died, okay? The Bible says so. There was a Roman soldier. They came and looked at him. They were going to break his legs, and they broke the legs of this guy, and they go, he's already dead. Well, we better just check. Yep, he's dead. We don't need to break his legs. Let's get him down and chuck him in a grave. He's been there 4 days. He's dead. He's whipped. He's beaten. He's stabbed up the side. If you weren't dead, you would die pretty quick just from that trauma, wouldn't you? Jesus was dead. He died. That soldier was there. It says he gave up the ghost and it went dark and there was earthquakes and that Roman soldier was scared and he went, "That is the Son of God. That is the Son of God," and he died. And the disciples got him, and they put him in the grave, and the Romans knew how to kill people, and the Jews knew when people were dead. It was their culture. Okay, they knew he was dead. Lazarus was dead, 4 days in the grave. Whoa, don't open that, it's going to stink. That same power that rose Lazarus rose Jesus Christ, and he came out of the grave. And that's the power. Look at verse 20. It says, "Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places." Jesus was alive after he was dead. Isn't that amazing? That is amazing. That is huge power. That is just something else. And Christ was around for 40 days. Hundreds of people seen him. The disciples watched him go up into heaven. He's sitting at the right hand of God. Stephen saw him. And look at what it says in verse 20. "Which he wrought when he raised him from the dead and set him at his right hand in the heavenly places." Positionally, we are seated in the heavenly places with Christ. Not physically, because we're here on earth, but spiritually, we are seated in the heavenlies with Christ. Positionally, we've got it all going for us. Okay, this earth is not that great. It's hard, it's tiring, it's full of sin, there's problems, there's issues, we don't like it. You know, to be absent from the body, we want to be with Christ, but I need to be here, and all this kind of stuff. But we've got it good. You think about that. You go back through and study Ephesians chapter 1 and see we've got the spiritual blessings. He's made us, we're adopted, we've got the heirs, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. We've got God's power. So what we need to do, we need to let God use us, don't we? We need to let God use us. Because if we don't, well, then it's all just pointless and we're coming to Friday night for nothing and we're coming to church on Sunday for nothing and we're going to Romania for nothing and we're going to New Guinea for nothing and we're sending a container for nothing and we might as well not even bother. Because you know what? It would have been better if Ananias and Sapphira didn't give than faking it. Isn't that true? So the power of Christ dwells in us. We need to leave it to God. Let God do it. Look at verse 17. See, we need to... 17 and 18, I think, is a bit of a key here. It says that the God of our Lord... the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. We need to let God teach us. When we pray, when we read, when we study, we need to not try and figure it out ourselves and look at the commentaries and go, "What does this say?" and reason it out. It doesn't make sense. Jesus doesn't make sense, humanly speaking. It doesn't make sense that he walked on water. That doesn't work. I've tried it. It doesn't make sense. God doesn't make sense, physically speaking. We need to let God teach us. We need to let God show us. We need to let him, hey, look what it says. It says, "May give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." Wow, our inheritance in the saints. Our inheritance is awesome. You know, it says that the sufferings of this world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Man, we struggle. We get depressed. We get discouraged. The devil attacks. We do things in the flesh. But we need to look to God. We need to let Christ do it. Look what it says. The end of verse 1 says, "Faithful in Christ." The end of verse 3, "In Christ." Partway through verse 4, in him. Where's the next one? Verse 10, in Christ. Goes on and on. Verse 11, in whom? Verse 13, start of verse 13 and the middle of it, in whom, you know, in Christ. That's where we are, in Christ. We're on the winning side. We're on the winning side. Christ has won. He's defeated the enemy. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. We need to give it to the Lord. We need to do it on the Lord's strength and in the Lord's power, and we need to look out that we're not just doing it our own way. Because I don't know, but I've probably got 3 years of wood, hay, and stubble sitting on my foundation in New Guinea, and a fire will just come and go whoosh. Yeah, I fear, you know. And we kind of like to imagine what our little building would be like with a log here and a bit of gold bar here and then some stick up there and then there's a silver there and then another log and then a bit of precious stones and, you know, you kind of, how is it going to look? We don't know, okay? It's a picture, okay? But what are you building? Go back to chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians and we'll just look at that last verse again that we started in. Verse 9 says, "For we are laborers together with God." God is looking for laborers in the churches. Not anywhere else, in the churches. We are God's husbandry. God's doing work in us all the time. And we are God's building in Christ. Our position in Christ is set. Amen.